From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Before I introduce this week's guest, I want to remind Naps Chat listeners of an interesting and important court case that will be argued before the U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday, April 18th. The case is Groff versus DeJoy. This is the case that will test the limits of a religious accommodation in the workplace. As you may recall, last month, a Naps Chat guest was Nick Reeves of the Yale Law School, who spoke about the case of a rural letter carrier who refused to work on Sunday, his Sabbath. The ultimate decision will have implications for employer recognition of religious observance, as well as for the United States Postal Service. For those who wish to hear the oral argument before the High Court, the audio will be live streamed on the U.S. Supreme Court website. Now, permit me to introduce today's guest on Naps Chat, Naps Executive Vice President Chuck Mulledore. We're going to talk about the recently concluded and what was deemed to be a highly successful Naps legislative conference at which there were approximately 500 participants. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Chuck.
Hi, Bob. Thank you. It's always a thrill to be on Naps Chat with you.
The last time you were on Naps Chat, that was about a month prior to the legislative conference. At that time, you had certain expectations about the legislative conference that would take place around 30 days from where we last recorded. Did the Naps legislative training seminar meet those expectations?
Oh, I think not only met the expectations, but even exceeded them. I was absolutely thrilled with how it went. We stayed pretty much on time and on target. We had great interaction with the delegates who were there, great representation from congressional leadership. I just thought it was overall an outstanding legislative training seminar. We had a great attendance this year of over 500, which is a little bit higher than we've had in some years past. And I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did. But I tell you, I think that it was just an outstanding event. I really do.
Now, there's a lot of planning that goes into a legislative training seminar. When do you, for our listeners, when do you start the planning process?
Well, I don't want to say me because it's we, right? So there's no me here. So we start. I think we started around September or October. In fact, actually, I think probably when it ended last year, we started getting some ideas for the next year. And I think we're doing that right now. Are you thinking about 2024 and what we can do different, do better? But we really get rolling pretty strongly in September, October, November, get everything lined up with the wreath laying ceremony. You know, we have to have that information in at the Arlington Cemetery 6 months to the date before the wreath laying ceremony. And that's always a kind of, I'm nervous about that to make sure we get it in there properly. So we start out with that and then just kind of work our way through inviting congressional leaders and setting the agenda and getting with all the team at NAPS headquarters, the staff, it's all in with the resident officers, our conference planner, even Karen Young, who does the Postal Supervisor Magazine, is intimately involved in all the printing that goes on. And, of course, even down to getting Dave Scavone, our photographer, ready and set and available for the proper date. So it really takes a lot of work. To me, and I've said this before, it's a labor of love because I've always loved attending the LTS for the last 20-plus years. And now to be responsible for it as the executive vice president and working very closely with you on planning it and executing it and rolling it out, it's really a pleasure for me. So, yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it because we want to make it a great event for everybody who attends. And for those that don't make it something they're going to want to come to next year, they're going to say, wow, I missed a great training seminar and I want to go back. And I think and maybe this might have been a question down the road from you, I'm not sure, but I think the thing I love the most about it is the interaction we got with people on the Hill. Our delegates went to the Hill on Tuesday and some on Wednesday and actually met with congressmen and senators, some staff, absolutely, but we had good meetings with them to get our agenda pushed forward. So I think it's a labor of love, and it's something that I enjoy, but you're right, there's a lot of work put into it, and I think it pays off, and we have such a good conference like we did this past one.
Relating to the members of Congress and our engagement with the members of Congress, we had a significant number of congressional speakers who addressed the attendees. And they included a House full committee chairman, a House subcommittee chairman, a Senate subcommittee chairman, a full committee ranking Democrat, and a dynamic new freshman from your home state. What's your takeaway from the participation of these members of Congress?
Well, it says a lot about our organization, right? That they, number one, that they came, and even more interesting to me, and I think highlights where we are as an organization, is that three of them came straight from the airport. They landed at the airport and came straight to the conference to be there at the time. You know, we had requested they come, and we had agreed with them they could attend at a certain time. And they left the airport, came straight there. So I think it says a lot about the respect this organization has gained on the Hill. And the interaction we have with these folks, the engagement we have with these congressional leaders. And then we had a Congressman Raskin zoom in from his home. He's undergoing some medical treatment, but still took the time to zoom into our meeting. I think it just says a lot about our organization, about the engagement that we do, you know, 365 with these folks. We're constantly engaged on the Hill, constantly urging our members back home to be engaged in their home districts. And I think it pays off when you see that level of participation and attendance at one of our events.
I misspoke a second ago. We had two full committee chairmen at the conference.
Yes,
Mike Bost, who's chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, also attended for a special recognition to one of our members. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was great. One of our members, Dan Rendleman, has been so involved over his career in the Postal Service, career at NAPS, with legislative effort, and he's very good friends with Congressman Mike Bost. And Mike Bost is someone that NAPS supports, that we meet with on a regular basis, you and I. We talk with them on a regular basis. And this year, we decided that the winner of the Stanley Gold Award for Legislative Achievements, which we give every year in honor of Stanley Gold, who was legendary in his interactions with Congress from Miami. We gave that to Dan Rendleman this year, well-deserved award. And you had the idea to see if we could get someone from Mike Boss' office or maybe himself to come, and he absolutely was delighted to do it. So it was a huge surprise, I think, to Dan to have Congressman Boss come there. We had a shroud of secrecy around that, and to the point where, you know, we had to kind of hide a congressman in the back of the room so that Dan wouldn't see him before this presentation. So it was great that he came over and spoke with us for a little bit and then presented the award to Dan Rendleman. It was very enjoyable and a well-deserved recognition for Dan.
The conference itself, let's get down to nuts and bolts here. Highlighted five crucial issues important to postal supervisors, managers, and postmasters. These included advancing consultative process, providing equitable appeals to the Merit Systems Protection Board, full law enforcement authority to the Postal Police Force to protect postal personnel and the mail, repealing government pension offset, windfall elimination provision, and monitoring implementation of the Postal Reform Act of 2022. How would you evaluate the sense of mission of our participants in conveying these priorities to Capitol Hill?
Yeah, I think it was mission accomplished. You know, we've been talking about the conference and the attendance and the level of enjoyment and engagement from the delegates as well as the congressional participation. But we were there for business, right? We had a business agenda to present to Congress, and that involved some of the issues you were talking about, H.R. 594, H.R. 595, H.R. 82, soon to be introduced Postal Police Reform Bill, and making sure that this Postal Reform Act of 2022 actually gets implemented the correct way it's supposed to and working the correct way. So we went there with this agenda. We kept it, you know, fairly focused, not overly expansive issues, but not, you know, so broad based that it went off into different directions. So it was a very focused message on some legislation that benefits NAPS, benefits retirees, and in many cases their spouses or their widows, and benefits, I think, all postal employees when we talk in terms of the postal police. So we're the leading advocates for that legislation on the postal police. So we took that message to the Hill. Our delegates received it during training at LTS, and they took that message to the Hill. I mean, we've got the messages, right? The photographs, the Facebook posts. I mean, you know, we have a massive level of engagement on the Hill that I don't think I've seen in a long time. So they got great focused training. Our delegates enthusiastically took it to the Hill on a beautiful day, nice day to be out. And I think it was very successful. We'll get some feedback, I think, from leadership on the Hill as time goes on. And I expect that to be very positive engagement, positive leadership. So I would say the message was delivered and the mission was accomplished.
Now that's us speaking. Let's turn to what our attendees thought. Now, historically, mm-hmm. NAPS is quite comprehensive in evaluating our legislative conference performance. We've done surveys, I would say exit surveys, if you will, about the conference. So I'd like to get your reaction on some of the data that was gleaned from our post-conference survey, which I might add had a particularly an extremely high response rate. Let's start talking some of that data. Mm-hmm. Overall, 64% of our attendees rated the conference excellent. And when combined with those who were satisfied with the event, we had a 99.5% approval rating. That's great.
That's awesome.
Amazing. Yeah. And what are the metrics I know that you are particularly interested in and proud of is how the legislative training seminar attendees rated legislative training, because that's the reason they're here. Let me share with you those numbers. 65.3% rated it excellent. That's a little bit more than the overall rating. And when combined with those satisfied, we earned a 97.5% rate approval rating.
Right. Yeah.
Why do you think, and you know, it's tough. Legislative training is tough. People, there are obstacles. Some of them are attitudinal obstacles. Some are physical obstacles. But why do you think they rated it so highly? I mean, you know, you look at postal performance. My God, if you had an MPA, Chuck, for this, I don't know what box you'd be in.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep the MPA conversation out of the LTS conversation.
Gotcha.
But I agree with you. If the post office had 99.5% scores in delivery, they'd be doing absolutely fantastic and amazing. But we'll leave it at that. But I tell you, I really do think it's a credit to the whole team approach that we take with LTS. So, like I said at the beginning, it's not about me, it's about we. And we're all in on it. It's not like, you know, we do a little bit here. We're all in, from the office staff to you and I and the resident officers and our vendors. So it's an all-in approach to make it the very best conference it can be. And I think that's reflected in the scores. And mind you, that's a very high response because we do that electronically now. We don't do it on paper and pen anymore like we used to do. So we make it very easy for people. They get an email to rate the conference and rate their interactions and so forth. And so it's very simple for them. A huge number do it. So this isn't based on 5 or 10 responses. This is based on hundreds of responses that came back. So it's a very, very, very good sample of people. It's just indicative of the fact that we were on target with what we were trying to do, and I think we accomplished what we set out to do. I think when you look at 99.5 and 97.5 on the legislative training, which I'm really particularly proud of, because that means we hit the mark of what their expectations were, what our delegates' expectations were in terms of why they came. So they felt that we gave them the tools they needed and the information they required to go forward on the Hill and get our message out to those folks on Capitol Hill. So I'm very proud of those statistics and very happy that, you know, we met our delegates' expectations for what they wanted to see and wanted to have be available to them at LTS.
One of the groups that we are always attentive to at LTS, at our conference, are our first-timers. There was a meaningfully high number of first-timers here, mm-hmm. approximately 90 first-timers. And we asked them to rate how we did, and they also gave us a positive evaluation. First-timer mm-hmm. training was rated at 65.3% excellent, and when mm-hmm. combined with satisfied, we get up to about 97.5%.
Yeah. It's great to see first-timers there. We had 90. We talked about that. There was almost 90 first-timers in Congress and 90 first-timers at LTS, a good match. But that's almost 20% when you think about it, of the attendees at the LTS were first-timers. I think that's great representation. It means that the engagement is reaching down to people who want to participate in the legislative program that we have developed over the past decade or so to come to D.C. and be a part of that. So it really makes me very happy to see that many first-timers. They're bringing a new outlook, a new perspective, and then they get the message and they have a high enthusiasm rate taking that message to the Hill. So and as far as the first timers, I've got to give credit to you and to Cora Walton and those who participated in that training. I think the fact that it was rated so high tells you just how effective it was, and I appreciate that from you and Carl and the others who were involved in the first timer training.
Our congressional speakers were also a hit, though obviously there was variation among the speakers. The range was from 57%. One of the speakers, 57% of those who responded rated it as excellent to 80%. Honestly, a bit of partisan may have played a role here, but still that's mm-hmm. a pretty high evaluation.
I think it's a pretty high evaluation, and there could be partisanship somewhat in there. And a few folks come to me and say, you know, why is so-and-so invited? Why is so-and-so here? And I just tell them, look, take everything off of your perceptions of folks, the Republican or Democrat, and focus on the message here, which is about the Postal Service and NAPS and what we can do legislatively to make the Postal Service a better place to work, and what you can do for NAPS to make NAPS a better organization and get our message across to members of Congress. And we have to work with Republicans and Democrats. Right now, the Republicans are in charge of the House. We have an outstanding relationship with Representative Comer, who is at the LTS, who's the chairman of the Oversight Committee. You have Pete Sessions there, chairman of the subcommittee that will be overlooking some aspects of the Postal Service. You know, and Congressman Raskin, ranking minority member on the Oversight Committee. So Republicans and Democrats, we had both. It's not to try to make it balanced. It's just to reflect the reality of there's a split in Congress. And listen, we say it all the time. I know I say it all the time. It doesn't matter in terms of what we do in our legislative program. We advocate for the Postal Service and for NAPS. All that other stuff, people can have their opinions about it, and that's fine, and we all do. There's nothing wrong with that. But we stay focused on the message of the Postal Service and the message of NAPS. And that's how we stay in such good stead with all of these folks. Because, listen, at the end of the day, the Postal Reform Bill was a classic example. It took bipartisanship to get that bill passed, and we had it in the House and in the Senate. And to get meaningful legislation done on behalf of NAPS members, we got to have that bipartisan engagement. And we're committed to that, and we're going to keep moving forward with it.
We also permitted attendees to share what they valued and least valued about the conference. And this was an open-ended question we asked. By an overwhelming number, legislative training surpassed all other conference attributes by a factor of more than three. What they also valued was the ability to network with their colleagues from throughout the country, and as you pointed out earlier, interaction on Capitol Hill with members of Congress, whether they be House members or Senate members, was extremely important to them. And we, as you pointed out, we have the pictures to prove it.
Right.
You know, so the real life on the Hill experience really added to the event because of the interaction.
I think so. And I can remember being a first timer at the LTS way back a long time ago. And just that first day walking to Capitol Hill and walking into those office buildings and meeting with the members of Congress and their staff and so forth. It's very overwhelming. It's also very, it's very impressive. And you really feel as if you have an important mission to get across. And I think that, why I value so much the first timers who come. I can only put myself in their place some years ago as to how awesome of an experience that is to be on Capitol Hill and walking those halls. Now that we're free of COVID, we're free of it in terms of the openness of the Capitol. They can walk around there and do the things that we always did pre-COVID, and it makes the experience even much more enjoyable. And then having so many of them have the opportunity to meet with their congressman or their senator in person, I think just adds to the entire process. And it makes me glad that we had that level of engagement from the first timers and from everybody. I think the messaging I got back from people was whether this was your first time you were there or your 30th time you were there, it was a great experience. It was great to be up on the Hill. Great to see NAPS received so well on the Hill by so many members of Congress. You know, you got to think that on Monday, most of these Congress people are just flying back to D.C. from their districts. So they're in their office. They've only been there for a day. On Tuesday, they meet with our people, and they have session. They have the House is in session, the Senate is in session. So They have the opportunity to say, well, I'm busy right now. I don't want to go meet with these folks. But they took the time out of their day to meet with our folks. And I think it's a credit to our people as well as the reputation that our organization has now on the Hill. So it makes me very, very proud of it.
Let me explore one last question with you. And that is a new NAPS initiative stemming out of the legislative training seminar. We spoke about it, about that NAPS members have to be engaged with their members of Congress year-round, not only in Washington, but back home. Could you talk about the legislative training initiative that we're going to embark on very shortly?
Yeah, I think that's one thing we got. We talk about it all the time, right? You have to be engaged with, your member back home. You just can't come here once a year and think that you've done something good. And you have done something good. But if you don't follow up with them back home, you've kind of left the boat at the dock. So I think it's important that we stress to them and give them the tools to meet with their folks back at home and keep this message going year round. So that's why I know you're going to be greatly involved in posting some videos on our NAPS website, NAPS.org, and the Legislative Center. And you'll be going through how to engage with a member of Congress back home in their home districts, how to become familiar with the staff, to the point where we'd like people to pick up the phone and say, this is so-and-so. Oh, the staff just knows you because they've heard of you and they've seen you or even to the point where the staff calls you about a particular issue that the congressman is thinking about, wants to know what your thoughts are. And that's only done through engaging with them, meeting with them, talking with them, attending their events back in their districts. So I know there's going to be some videos and some information coming out from us on how to do that and make that a meaningful part of the entire legislative process. It's a year-round process. It's not just something we do here in March or April in D.C., but something that's been done year-round, regardless of what our Postmaster General said at LTS. The engagement does matter. It does matter. And we heard that from members of Congress, that the engagement matters. So I want them to know that it's important that not only do they, that they engage on the Hill and during LTS, but they engage these members of Congress and these members of the Senate on a regular basis back home, because it does matter. And we got proof of that. We got proof of it when we passed the Postal Reform Bill, and NAPSA was at the forefront of doing that. And we know that the engagement does matter. And it's going to matter a whole lot more moving forward as you try to get some of these other things passed that's going to make life better for NAPS members who work in the Postal Service.
With that being the final word, Chuck, I want to thank NAPS Executive Vice President Chuck Molitor for joining me this week on NAPS Chat. Thanks, Chuck.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
Also, I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store, and more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm gonna stand right down and write myself a letter and make